foot washing, just want to open the invitation wide open that this is for young and old alike. Oldest of you or the youngest of you, come and participate. Come and wash feet. Get your feet washed. There's no restrictions here. We want everybody to participate that would like to. So any age, come on up, wash your feet, get your feet washed, whatever. So we're in John chapter 13 today. The message is, you are completely clean. What a good news that is. John chapter 13, verse 1. Let me read through this passage slowly. There's just so many beautiful things that Jesus is telling us here. Grab hold of something and just savor it. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid his outer garments aside, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are completely clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled, 'He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me.' I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of who he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought because Judas had the money bag. Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. And when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You'll seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now also I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I'm going to stop right there and ask the Lord's blessing on His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we have honored You by reading Your Word, and Your Word doesn't come back void. It is the power of this family, of this ministry, of this body of believers. Your Spirit and Your power, Your Word are the power that we live by. Thank You for Jesus and these words, and I ask Your blessing on them, that You would quicken them in our hearts, change us, put aside any pride or arrogance in us, recall any sin to our hearts and minds that we may need to confess, and Lord, just speak to us of Your love and grace, as You've said we should love one another as You loved us, and You loved them to the end. So I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So let's just be clear as we look at this. The passage I read began with love and it ended with love. So this is a passage about love. He loved them to the end, it says in verse 1. And in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. So we're talking about loving to the end. I found a couple of interesting things here that I think are important for us. For instance, in verse 2, the devil put it into Judas Iscariot's heart. But in verse 27, Satan entered Judas Iscariot to go do what he did. So he put a thought, he put a motive, he put a desire, he put something in his heart to betray Jesus, and then he entered him to go and do that deed. It's pretty clear here that Jesus, in verse 3, Jesus was knowing who he was. Jesus understood he's the Son of God. I mean, it's like, I know who my Father is. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, all things had been given to Jesus, and yet here he found himself in this place, being in full authority. He is about to surrender himself to the authorities, to the cross. So knowing he's from God, he's going back to God, everything is his, he chooses. It is his plan, his desire. He will surrender himself to the cross. The meat of it begins around verse 7, verse 8. Here's the importance of what Jesus is doing. In verse 8, Peter said to him, you'll never wash my feet. And what Peter is thinking is, you're the Lord, and I'm your servant, and I will fight for you, but you will not come down here and wash my feet. You'll never wash my feet, as a matter of fact. And Jesus gave him an answer that just really gave him no options. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. There's no portion here. We're not going to work as a team. You're not going to be a part of my ministry and plan. You're His. Peter was His, and He tells us that. Verse 9, Simon Peter said then, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed, completely washed, bathed, does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean. And you," plural, that's you plural, looking out, going, "You guys, you all of you here, you're bathed, you're completely clean. So you don't need to do that again. You don't need to take another bath. Just wash your feet." But if I don't wash your feet, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you don't have a portion with me. Then we're not going to be able to work together here. But you all, plural, except one, you're washed, you're bathed. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? So you look out, Jesus looks out and He says, "Hey, you're bathed. You're mine," right? Because that's what He says here. Look, He knew who was to betray Him. That is why He said, "Not all of you are clean." So not all of you are clean in verse 11. And He says in verse 10, "You are clean, but not every one of you." He knew who He chose, it says. He chose. So you're chosen. You're bathed. You're completely washed. 100%. You are His. You belong to Jesus. And you don't need to bathe again. You don't need to start that process again. You don't need to get into the shower or the tub again. All you need is to wash your feet. Because daily, you are walking the streets and you are bathed, but your feet get dirty, and all you need from now on is to wash your feet. And then you will have a portion. You will share in the work and the life of Christ. Our sin comes between us. Our sin gets us off course. When we walk with Jesus, we just wash our feet every day. We just need to wash our feet. You don't need to take a bath again. Amen? Are you with me? I don't know about you, but I walk these roads and I need my feet washed. But I don't need to take a bath again. And He says, "Hey, you guys, you're clean, you're washed. Except one, it's not mine. And all we're going to do, and if you don't, you've got to let me wash your feet. Or you don't have this portion with me. How can you walk with me? How can you serve with me? How can you glorify me if you don't let me wash your feet?" That's what He said. You have to, Peter. You have to. So, it's an interesting statement, isn't it? Now, here's what's really, 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 I'll take you a little bit deeper in this, and then we'll wash some feet. So, if you have your Bible in front of you, we want to look at a few passages. So turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 18. And I want to remind you while you're turning that what we are talking about is love. This washing of the feet. This is love. Jesus loved them to the end, and the commandment I give you, a new commandment, that you should love one another. So this what's happening here is all about love and loving one another. Jesus' love for us and our love for each other. Now here's what's interesting. Jesus said, or Jesus answered him, "What I am doing now you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." That's an interesting statement. Jesus is washing their feet and He tells them, "You don't understand what I'm doing." But foot washing is throughout the Bible. They knew quite clearly what foot washing was. So you've turned to Genesis chapter 18, verse 4, in that range. Abraham, right? There are three angels, and one of them, most people believe, is Jesus. These are the angels of the Lord. Genesis chapter 18, I'll begin at verse 1. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. You see it? The Lord, capital letters. The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat on the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And he said, O Lord, now he's changed it, small letters there. If I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Look, let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread. Boy, that sounds familiar. That you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said, and he did all that, and they left and headed down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says there that a little bit later on that the Lord went on his way and the two went to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord, pre-incarnate Jesus, three men, one he kept calling Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, you're here. And he went on his way, and the two, the angels, went to Sodom and Gomorrah. But what did he do for them? He said, hey, stop, sit down. Let me get you some water to wash your feet. Let me get you some food to refresh yourself. That would be an honor for me, Lord, to worship you that way. Interesting stuff. They knew what it was. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We've gone from Genesis to later on in the New Testament, and Paul is actually teaching or coaching Timothy now about organizing the New Testament church. And in this particular passage, he's talking about the widow's enrollment. The widow's enrollment. Be clear and see that there are roles. There's an enrollment, an official enrollment in the New Testament church. These ladies qualify or don't to be on the roll, on the roster. So when we ask you about joining the church and you say, well, they didn't have that in the New Testament, let me tell you, you could be a little bit wrong there. Because these widows are on the roster. They're on the church roster to be fed and cared for and clothed. And he tells them that they must be at least 60 years old to be on the roster, on the church roll, on the church register. Beginning of verse 3. Honor widows who are truly widows. If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Verse 5. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. She who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow, here it is, verse 9, let a widow be enrolled, put on in the enrollment, if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, we could get into that a little more, but we won't, having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. A true widow, enrolled, eligible for church charity and help, has qualifications. 60 and older, has had children, doesn't have family, has no one to care for her. She is a woman of one man. She's a woman. Usually we think the a man of one woman, a one-woman kind of man. This is a one-man kind of woman. So it's in reverse of what we normally talk about, that subject. She has washed the feet of the saints. What's that mean? Because he just said she's shown hospitality. She's cared for the afflicted. She's devoted herself to every good work. She has washed the feet of the saints. So they knew what washing feet was. They'd always practiced it. Even the widows, even the seniors, even the older ladies washed the feet of the saints. Interesting. To be on the roll, you had to be known as a senior woman who washed the feet of the saints. Luke chapter 7. I think you're maybe familiar with this. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, and he reclined at the table, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed him with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, this is the Pharisee, if this man was a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered it, say it, teacher. Certain money lender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50 denarii. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you've judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. And therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Whoa. Wow. Filthy, sinful woman begins to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and wipes them with her hair, kissing his feet and pouring expensive essential oils all over them. And he says, she loves me much because she's been forgiven of much. The one who has been forgiven of much loves much. And she bowed down and worshiped him in an act of this humble contrition, far beyond these Pharisees, these religious people who have done so well there at the temple of God. This woman has outloved them all. Right off the streets. Who knows where she came from? And she has just outloved them all by washing his feet. By washing his feet. So they knew, they knew quite clearly what foot washing was all about. It represented several things. It was beautiful. It was an act of humility, of welcoming, of hospitality, of a broken heart, of thankfulness, of love. Washing feet was an act of love. And Jesus loved them to the end. Washing feet was all that, and yet Jesus says, you don't understand what I'm doing. You will later, you'll get it, but right now you don't understand what I'm doing. And the reason is because this act of love here was the act of forgiveness. It was the act that I have forgiven your sins today and each day and later. And as you reject me on the cross, as you run scared from my cross, I will find you. I will come after you. And I will forgive you and love you because you are mine. I've chosen you. You are bathed. You are bathed and you don't need to take a bath again. But you will need your feet washed every day. Every day. And I'm doing this for you, Jesus. I'm doing this for you. In love, I'm showing you this symbol, this act that says, I'm going to serve you by washing your feet, by forgiving you every day, so that you can have a portion with me, you can walk with me, you can be with me, part of me. And you, in your act of love, are going to wash each other's feet. You are going to forgive each other of these daily dirty feet. You don't need washed again. You need your feet washed. It's all you need. You're clean. You've bathed. You don't need to take another bath. But you, to love one another, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And what is that love? What kind of love is it that sets us apart from all that love? You'll forgive each other. You'll wash each other's feet. The Savior Himself bends down beneath, serves the people. He's about to die on the cross for them. And that one, if that's not enough, He's now down on his knees washing feet, saying, look, you're going to need this every day, and I want you to know I am going to love you for the rest of your life and forgive your sins every day. You need to let me forgive your sins, or you don't have a part. You need to let me wash your feet. And that's how you will love one another. And if there is anything that will set you apart in this love, this new commandment I give you, you guys will forgive each other. You'll forgive each other every day. And people will go, but they sin. And they just keep forgiving each other. They just keep washing each other's feet, getting down on their knees, humbling themselves, and doing what Jesus did to these unworthy fishermen who would run in fear from his cross, deny him three times, Peter, and he will seek you out. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then feed my sheep, because I love you, and I'm going to forgive you every single day. Let me wash your feet. You don't need to take another bath. Just let me wash your feet every day. So that's what we're doing this morning. We are washing feet. So let me give you a couple thoughts while you're sitting, while you're watching, so your mind doesn't wander onto whether the roast is burning. Number one, while you're watching, while you're thinking, maybe you want to pray, maybe you want to talk to Jesus about serving, about humbly serving like the widows did. The widows washed feet. There was never a time in these widows' life where they said, look, we're widows. Look, we're over 60. Look, we don't wash feet. You wash my feet. There's never a time. This woman was known that she was not above anybody else, that this woman was hospitable, cared for the people. I will get on my knees and wash and refresh the disciples' feet. The humility in the servanthood. Maybe that's something we need to pray about. The humility in the servanthood. I will wash people's feet. That's one. Maybe you need to think about that sinful, sinful, filthy woman coming in there and just weeping in worship. Weeping in worship at her Lord's feet. Is it a loving worship? She loved him so much. She would worship him in a crowded room full of Pharisees, knowing who she was, knowing her sin was so filthy, and she would walk in front of them all and worship her Lord. She loved him. She was so thankful for what he had done. He'd forgiven her because she loved much. Wow. How's your love? Maybe that's something you need to think about. Is that my love? I'll wash your feet because I love him so much. I've been forgiven of so much, it brings me to tears. Maybe you've been forgiven little and you love little, and that's a little bit beneath you. Maybe your love needs to be a weeping love. Think about that while we're washing feet. Is that it? Is it your service? What is it? Or maybe that dreaded love. That dreaded love of forgiveness. Well, I've been wronged too many times. I'm not very good at forgiveness anymore. I'm a little better at holding a grudge. I'm a little better at waiting for you to humble yourself and apologize to me. And maybe you're not real quick to forgive. When we have a family here, it's pretty large, and I'm sure we can step on each other's toes at times. Maybe it's just easier for you to go home mad than to forgive. Maybe it's easier for you to get on the phone and call your bestie and tell them what such and such down at the church did. And maybe your love needs to grow in the grace of Jesus and His forgiveness. The ability to forgive in love. It's not really like, okay, fine. I just won't talk to you from now on. No, this is a different kind of forgiveness. This is a forgiveness out of love. I suppose Jesus had every reason in the book to just, sorry, Peter, you've done ran your mouth once too often, bud. Now you've denied me 3 times. You're kind of a scurvy dog. You're on the bottom of the list of the apostles. And he ended up at the top. He ended up at the top. Because Jesus loved him. Jesus forgave him out of his great love. He loved him to the end. He loved him to the end. Maybe that's what you need to pray about while you're waiting and watching. That you'll learn how to forgive, truly forgive, in love. In love. So that's our scripture. That's our thing. We've got plenty of time here. So I'm going to pray and we'll get started. Lord, I pray you'll just help us now with this passage, whether it be in a loving, humble service, forgiveness, or just love and worship for you. We can't go low enough to serve you, to worship you. Lord, etch this love, this humility, this forgiveness, etch it into our souls so that all men will know that we are your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Women will wash women here. Men will wash men here. Seniors, if you don't want to come up the steps, please go here. And we will do the same.